I'd like to invite y'all to open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. There's a handout that was in your bulletin this morning. There's some bulletins back there if you need one. Feel free to grab one of those. 1 Kings 11 verses 1 through 13 is what we'll be looking at tonight and next week as well on Sunday night. We're going to divide this up into two parts. I'd like to ask you to stand to your feet if you would, and we'll read this, read God's Word aloud. I will read it aloud if you'll follow along in your copy of God's Word. It's great to see y'all here tonight. Y'all like doing favorites like that? That's kind of fun, isn't it? Appreciate Andrew and Whitney leading us there. They did a great job, didn't they? It's good. 1 Kings 11, here's how God's Word reads, beginning at verse 1. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. Verse 3, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Verse 5, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Verse 9. So the Lord became angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, "Because you have done this, and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days, for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son." Verse 13, "However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David, for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." You may be seated. Let's pray together with this evening. Lord, we're so grateful for your word and the reading of it tonight. And Father, we pray as we look at this narrative passage in the Old Testament, Lord, that we would learn from it. And, Father, in our learning, that we would learn to have hope, patience, and comfort. For we know it was for that reason, for those reasons, the Old Testament scriptures were recorded. So we pray, Lord, today that would be true for us as we hear your word expounded upon and taught. And Lord, we are grateful for the opportunity to learn from your word tonight. Thank you for the singing, which we have been able to lift up our voices to you with. And we pray, Lord, that has been a sweet sound, Lord, in your ear tonight. Lord, not because of the words only, but because our hearts and our mouths are aligned. Lord, we do not want to be a people who worship you with our mouth, and yet our heart is far from you. So, Lord, we pray that they will be aligned, and that we will truly be a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, whom you gave for our sins. And God, that through his death, you were demonstrating your love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is the gospel that we hope in, that we trust in, that we cling to for eternal life, not our own goodness. We thank you that Christ is sufficient to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Lord, we pray these things tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 11. We're going to do a little bit of a Bible study tonight and to look at this passage of Scripture. And as I said, we'll be breaking this up into two parts, this Sunday night and then next Sunday night. As we begin looking at this, we're going to see, first of all, as it's entitled, A Heart and Kingdom Divided. First of all, we're going to see the turning away of a heart in verses 1 through 8. And Solomon there, of course, was the second king of, no, not the second king, but the third king of Israel. Now, who was the first king of Israel? Who can tell me who the first king of Israel was? Saul, that's right. Good job. And who was the second king of Israel? David. And then Solomon was the third. So how many years did Saul reign as king? Anybody know that off the top of your heads? 40 years. How many years did David reign as king? 40. And then how many did Solomon reign as king? Yeah, 40. That's exactly right. So between the three kings, it was 120 years where they all reigned as king together, combined. So Solomon here is nearing the end of his reign, obviously. And so he's reigned his almost 40 years. And we find that something has happened to him. He has done exactly what God told him not to do. And because of that, God pronounces judgment upon the kingdom. He reserves that judgment not allowing it to take place during Solomon's days, but it was reserved to take place during his sons for the sake of David, his father. But as we look at this passage, we're going to see about three things under this first point. The turning away of a heart, we see the love of foreign women in verses 3 through 4. We see the influence of foreign wives. And then finally, we're going to see in just a moment the pursuit of foreign gods. So let's look first of all at verses 1 through 2, actually, is what that's supposed to be. Verses 1 and 2. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. Now, if you would, turn back over to 1 Kings chapter 3. And just very quickly, and we looked at this passage a few weeks ago, and we've really studied a couple of passages pertaining to Solomon. But in chapter 3, we find the daughter of Pharaoh again being kind of singled out. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter, when he had brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. For whatever reason, I don't know if anyone's exactly sure why, but for some reason, Pharaoh's daughter is kind of set aside, set apart. It's almost it was like there was something special, a little bit more unique about that union than Solomon's marriage with these other foreign women. I don't know if it was because of the history that Israel had with Egypt and that they were there for 400 years and now Solomon is marrying the daughter of Pharaoh, or exactly what the reason is. But that's all, she's often singled out. So we see there, back to verse 1 of chapter 11, that as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. Now, let's break this down real quick and kind of remember our Old Testament history. Where did the Moabites and the Ammonites come from? Can anybody remember where the Moabites and the Ammonites came from? Lot. That's right. Lot's relationship with his two daughters, incestuous relationship with his two daughters after Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And to them were born Moab and Ammon. What about the Edomites? From whom did the Edomites come? Esau. That's exactly right. Esau was the brother of who? Esau was the brother of who? Jacob. Jacob and Esau were the sons of who? Isaac. That's right. And their granddad then was Abraham. So Jacob and Esau were born to Isaac. So we see really the close relationship here between Israel and Moab, Ammon, and the Edomites. The Sidonians and the Hittites, probably not so close in relation, but all of these are grouped together as being nations to whom Israel was not to intermingle. They were not to marry. And the reason for that we'll see here in just a little bit is because of the influence in verses 3 through 4. Let's look at verse 2. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. So that's the reason God did not want them, want Solomon, want the kings, want Israel to intermarry because of their hearts being turned away. And then it says there, Solomon clung to these in love. Y'all remember us talking about the dictates of your evil hearts from Jeremiah a few weeks ago? And we see here how so often the heart is so key. You know, in Proverbs chapter 4, the Bible says to guard your hearts, to keep your hearts, for from it flow the issues of life. And here we find Solomon not keeping his heart because he went after these women that he was told not to go after. And because of that, it ultimately meant great judgment on the kingdom. That's something key for us to keep in mind when you're reading the Old Testament. You know, early on in Jeremiah, it talks about, y'all remember how in Jeremiah chapter 2 it talks about Jerusalem or Judah trading in the fountain of living waters. What did they trade the fountain of living waters in for? For what? That broken cisterns that could hold no water. And we ask ourselves, why in the world would they have done that? Why would they have traded in God, the giver of life, for these other gods that cannot give life? Their hearts. That's the reason. Because of the dictates of their evil hearts, because they were listening to their hearts. And it's so often we go back to that in Scripture. Now I want to ask you to turn over to, I think, let's see, it was 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. If you would flip there, I actually preached a message from this, again, several weeks back, as we've just kind of been doing some selective studies from the Old Testament. But in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, this is where David is being instructed from his, where rather Solomon is being instructed by David concerning the building of the temple. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. Y'all got that? If you got it, say, got it.
Got it.
Verse 9, he says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, serve him with a loyal what? And with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all what? Hearts. And understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So there we see the heart and the mind linked together, as we often do in Scripture. And Solomon was told, warned, instructed by David, his father, up front, to serve the Lord with a loyal heart. And now as we come here to 1 Kings, we find that that's not true. Now, I need to ask y'all a question. Why in the world did we just turn over to 1 Chronicles 28 and look at the beginning of Solomon's reign, and now we turn back to 1 Kings 11 and are looking at the end of it? Why could we do that? We went forward and found the end of it, the beginning of his reign, and now we're going back and finding the end of his reign. Is that confusing? Does that make any sense? Why would we do that? Somebody answer that question for us, because there might be somebody here who doesn't know how we could jump forward and see the beginning and jump back and see the end. Somebody answer out loud. It'd be fine. Go ahead, Josh. Right. They're not in chronological order. Okay. That's right. Exactly. So 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles are kind of like Matthew and Mark, right? Now, there's more detail that goes along with it than that, but there are different accounts of kind of the same thing. So we could go to 1 Kings and find in chapter 1 and 2 and find that those same type of things that David is instructing his son Solomon. So I just wanted to put that out there so that wasn't confusing anybody, because I really want us to understand our Bibles. It's actually quite important that we do on things like that so that we not be discouraged. All right, so we come here to verse 3. And it says here, and when he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, in verse 4, and we're not going to make any jokes at all tonight about the 700 wives and the 300 concubines, okay? No jokes to be made. We're all thinking it. No joke. Verse 4, for it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Now, how many times can y'all find the word heart from verses 1 through 4? Five times. And it's actually verses 2 through 4. So 2, 3, and 4, we find the word heart five times. Again, emphasizing your heart, Solomon's heart, our hearts. It matters. Your heart matters. And what is in your heart. You know, when we prayed a while ago, it's so easy for us to sing. But is it here? Is it in our hearts? And Jesus said that, you honor me with your mouth, but your hearts are far from me. The Lord wants them both to align because He sees the hearts. He sees our hearts. He knows what's there. And we should strive that they align with one another. I want to take just a moment and go back to this in verse 2. You guys saw that there where it's kind of in quotations in verse 2, right? You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Can you find maybe a cross-reference in your Bible anywhere where it talks about, or is a cross-reference where they've been told before not to intermarry? We're having a little Bible study tonight, okay? If you got your Bible, flip around there. You might have a reference in the side column. You might know something off the top of your minds. As far as a passage where they were told, instructed, not to intermarry. All right, good job. Exodus 34. All right, verse 16. Was that you, Josh, who said that?
Yeah.
Would you mind reading that? Okay, good job. Hey, if you folks in the cry room want to come on in here and sit, y'all are welcome. Just come on in and sit during our time here. You don't feel obligated to stay back there. I don't want you to miss anything. All right, can anybody else find another one? Find another passage. Anything? Any cross-references? All right, will somebody look up Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 5? All right, would you read that for us, Ethan?
Destroy them. You shall make no sons away from following me, serve other gods.
So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall be opened. You shall destroy their altars, you shall break down their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, and burn their carvings with fire.
All right, good job. So they were not to intermarry with them. They were to utterly destroy them. But instead of doing that, they left many, and Solomon ended up obviously marrying these foreign women. All right, does anybody see another one? See another one anywhere? Does that reference lead you to another reference? Does Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 5 lead you to another reference? You might see something in the column of your Bible there. You got that? Have you found that?
Yeah. You shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not live in your land because they will make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you.
All right. Good job. Tell me that one again. Exodus 23.
32. 30.
All right. Good job. All right. Write this one down, Leviticus 18, if you are taking notes. We're not going to read this one, but the entire chapter is dedicated to warning them not to do the doings of the land. Then we could go to Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 5, if somebody could grab that one. Deuteronomy 9.
It's not because of righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
That's exactly right. So when they went in there, they were going to a wicked land. That was why it was so important that they not intermarry with them. You see, when God judged the people, when he told them to go in and kill them, he wasn't doing that because of skin. He was doing it because of sin. God wasn't racist and just wanted those people to be killed. He was doing it because of their sin. And that's why God sent them in there to do that. Now look over at last one, unless somebody finds another one. Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 31. If somebody could grab that one and read it for us very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Anybody got it? Want to read it?
Displace them and dwell in their land. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? I also would likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire of their gods.
All right. That was through 31 and then 32. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. So we see here some of the abominations in which they took part in. We see the love of foreign women, the influence of foreign wives, and the pursuit of foreign gods is what is taking place here in 1 Kings chapter 11. Does anybody have any questions so far on what we've looked at? And going back to Deuteronomy, to the law. And you'll notice that about each of these. That's so important, folks. Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. This is the law. This is the standard that God has set forth for the people of Israel and that they were to follow. And if they wanted to be blessed, they would obey it. If they did not want to be blessed or if they wanted to do their own thing, they were going to be cursed. They were promised that in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But yet, we see Solomon not obeying, and obviously Judah and Jerusalem followed suit as well. Any questions about that so far, or further input that you'd like to have right quick on this? All right. Well, let's go on then as we look at the pursuit of the foreign gods. In verses 5 through 8, really as we're finishing up here, it says, in verse 5, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Now very quickly, I want y'all, if you would, to give me a list of the names of the foreign gods, if you could, that are found right there. What are the names of these foreign gods?
Molech.
And who did he belong to?
Ammonites.
Chemosh. Who did he belong to? Moab. That was the girl god out of the bunch right there. She was the goddess. And who did she belong to? Sidonians. All right. And is there another one? Yeah. So Milcom and Molech are the same god of the Ammonites. It's these that you'll see often in the Old Testament pop up. You'll often see these gods as being snares, being those that the children of Israel worship. And we find Manasseh worshiping these gods, and which ultimately brought judgment on Jerusalem, on Judah. You could look over to see how he burned the children in the fire to Asherah, just look at chapter 21 of 2 Kings. As we look at this real quickly, if you can flip over there. 2 Kings 21 gives us the account of Manasseh. And in verse 3 of 2 Kings 21, at the end of that verse, it says there that he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And verse 4, he also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. In verse 6, also he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. And he did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And then in verse 7, 2 Kings 21, he even set a carved image of Asherah that he had made, in the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And he goes down in verse 9, and we can say that it says, but they paid no attention, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the what? Nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. That's jumping way ahead to Manasseh, but what we're going to see is that Solomon's influence had an impact for generations to come. So as we come to this point, we've seen those gods. I want you to turn to one other place, and then we'll conclude. In 2 Kings, I want to point out to you how many different gods there were in the land. 2 Kings chapter 17. This is sort of after judgments come on the northern kingdom by Assyria, and it's being resettled. But I want you to look, if you would, at verse 29 through 31. 29 through 31 of 2 Kings. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to erase part of this. I want us to list the names of all the gods that are mentioned here, these different places. And these are talking about some of the folks who resettled the northern kingdom, perhaps even the southern kingdom. But beginning at verse 29, it says, however, every nation continued to make gods of its own and put them in the shrines on the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in the cities where they dwelt. Now, y'all start reading through that and shout out some names of some gods. All right, Sukkoth. Sukkoth Benoth. Okay.
Shema.
Shema?
A-S-H-I-M-A.
Okay, Ashima. Okay, gotcha. Alright.
Nivaz, N-I-V-H-A-Z, and Fartok, which I think are probably the same people. Two gods, but same.
Right.
Adramelech, which is A D R A M M D L D C H.
Am I missing one? Sepharvaim?
Well, no, those are that's
the gods of Sepharvaim.
So
Adramelech and Animelech were the gods of the of Sepharvaim.
Right.
Anybody else have one I'm missing? I list those out just to say that so often we see these folks in the Old Testament, these gods with a little g, but there's a ton of them. Every nation had their own national deity. And they looked at Yahweh is just another god to be feared. Syncretism. It's okay to blend them all together. Yeah, we'll worship him, but we really are going to worship our gods as well. And God is exclusive. And it's that way with Christ today. You know, so often we can try to blend in other things. I can still be worldly. I can still love this world, but yet go to church and worship God on Sundays. That's not what he says. We can't be a friend of the world and be a friend of God. Friendship with the world is what with God? Enmity. That's exactly right. See, Christ came to set us free from bondage to any other god, that we might be set free, that we might know the one true God and worship him. We'll stop there tonight in our Bible study. I hope that was helpful. But let's remember, Solomon, and we need to get this at some point, Solomon was, they hoped he would be that promised son of 2 Samuel chapter 7. They hoped he would fulfill the promise made to David by God. But he didn't. So they kept looking for the next king who would fulfill that promise of 2 Samuel 7. That king arrived when Jesus Christ was born. And he fulfilled it, and he has set up an everlasting kingdom. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, who has fulfilled the promises of the King. And Lord, again, I pray that we would learn from this, Lord, tonight, the importance of not toying with this world. Because we can't love the world and love you. And Lord, we even know, as John wrote, Father, that the world and the lust of it are passing away. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Lord, I pray that we would be a people, not like Solomon, who goes after the world, but Lord, a people who love you. And Lord, that our hearts will be loyal to you. But Lord, we fail in that. That's why we run to Jesus, whose heart was always right with you. So, Lord, our hope is not ever in our obedience, Lord. It's in Christ, your Son, who is perfect. And we rejoice in that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.